Let's back up a little bit. Let's start off with what happened back in 2005 with you and Diebold and Harry Hursty and all that. That was something that was sort of bad form for you as an election official, right? You weren't technically allowed to get into that system. Can you explain what that, why that is?
Actually, I was.
Okay, you were. Explain what the story was then.
Well, we bought the voting system, and I was confronted by individuals who said that they believed that the system could be manipulated to alter the outcome of an election. That was a very serious charge. At that time, there was nothing in the contract to prevent me from conducting what's called a red team attack on the voting system. This is a very common kind of a process, red team attack, which just means you have a group of people trying to penetrate to see if your system is robust and not subjected to penetration. And so that's not unusual. What's unusual is that I did it on a voting machine, which is a programmable calculating device akin to a computer. Currently, if you tried to do that now, you'd be prohibited because after I conducted the test, the vendors inserted language in their contracts to prohibit such tests from being done without the permission of the vendor. But when you buy the system, when we bought the system, Leon County owned the system, and there was no prohibition against doing the test. And I decided to confirm one way or the other, could my system be manipulated without me knowing it? That's why Harry and another computer scientist from Massachusetts were brought down to examine the system. And that's when they discovered that there was a mathematical language called AccuBasic that it had been preloaded in the memory cards. The memory cards are, I guess a good way to describe it would be when you take a picture on a card, it downloads the image on what is supposed to be an empty cartridge. And then you've got your image. Well, what happens in the memory card of this voting machine is that the language that has been preloaded. So it's not a blank card. And what Mr. Hursty was able to do was manipulate the positive and negative integers so that when the administrator turned on the test in the morning that is supposed to show that there are no votes on the system, it would show no votes. But it had lots of votes in it already. They were encoded in these negative and positive integers, which came into play after the first ballot had been read. And you could then, as in Hacking Democracy, we fed 8 ballots through a system. They were marked overwhelmingly in the manner that you could not manipulate the Diebold system. I think it was 6-2, or might even have been 7-1, saying you could not manipulate the system. We read 8 ballots. But the manipulated car flipped the election and went the other way.
Now, didn't something change a few years ago when it came to this protection that allowed some people to look into these machines for, like, educational or something like that?
Well, the voting machine companies have been very, very, very leery now of letting anybody look into their proprietary equipment. So in terms of the standard voting machine companies, ES&S, Dominion, they're very rigid about not allowing independent testing to be done. They send their devices to independent testing laboratories. These are not owned by the government, and these independent testing laboratories are the ones that read the code and give thumbs up or thumbs down as to being it being good. However, you've got a situation in which these companies, if they're going to continue to do business with these manufacturers, actually find themselves under pressure to give positive results so they can get more, they can be used by the companies in the future.
The testing companies, you mean?
So there was some concern that the testing entities, which are not regulated by the state of Florida or the United States, quite frankly, were not up to giving the truth about whether or not these systems were completely secure. That's a problem in the system. We don't independently test these. We allow the vendor to do their own testing and submit it to the jurisdictions with this test. And if you do not have an excellent technical background or a large staff, and for example, the Secretary of State Division of Elections in the state of Florida has a very small staff, much smaller than it was in the 2000 election even. So they're very limited as to what they can do. We're talking about individuals in single digits who can do the work for the state, and we're talking about 14 million voters in 67 counties. It's a burden. But again, in my own evaluation of all of this, if you would audit the election properly, then no penetration or security attack can be done without you being aware of it. And again, part of it, this whole culture of elections was election officials themselves thought that an act as if on election night, that's the end of the election. Well, it's not. You really need to continue afterwards to do a proper audit and verify that the numbers are correct. It's you know, I like borrowing a phrase from former President Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, trust but verify.
But verify. Please do the verification. Leon County and six other counties have purchased technology in the state of Florida, which allows us to do 100% recounts, retabulations of every race, every vote cast in that race, and does it in a manner that you don't need to be a scientific expert to determine whether it's a valid vote. The votes are actually broadcast on a television screen or a movie screen or a wall. You could actually put 1,000 votes on up in front of the citizens, and you could see which ovals are clearly marked and which ones aren't. So it's and we actually have a system where if you wanted to buy the two CDs, which make up the Leon County database after the election, you can. I think they're $3 a piece. So for $6 in Leon County, a citizen can do a complete recount in every race and look at every vote cast for every candidate in every race.
That's
the kind of security I like.
What is your sense of what may or may not have happened during the 2016 election? We hear a lot of attempts were made, but no votes were changed. But what is truly verifiable with actual data that you can confirm yourself as a former election official?
Very little at this point. In talking to Alex Halderman, who actually successfully penetrated I believe it was Michigan's database. It was Michigan's
That's the guy that made the Michigan fight song play, right?
Bingo. He actually, that was Washington, that was the District of Columbia. They said, we're ready for primetime voting over the phone. And Holderman went in with a group of students. I have a CD of what he did. They actually went in. The first thing they did was they captured all of the video cameras in the election security area. So they could actually watch and see when the security officers made their rounds through the data center. And that, therefore, they could then they waited until they had ascertained what that security schedule was to be able to go in and manipulate the rest of the system when there wasn't anybody around to see that the lights that because when you do this, there are going to be certain lights that are going to go off on the servers. But anyways, they found that they could go in. But when they went in, interestingly enough, they found that evidence that the Republic of China had actually already been in the D.C. election database. So we're not just looking at one country here. Other countries have the state-level ability to use their spy craft to be able to go and actually penetrate most election systems. In fact, I was on the telephone call in Florida in 2016 when we were told there was a critical call that had to be taken. Every supervisor of elections had to be on that call. And Homeland Security told us that a foreign actor had penetrated a company who is a vendor of the state of Florida. That's what we were told. We weren't told it was Russia, although at the time most of us suspected it was the GRU Secret Service of Russia. We weren't told what company, but we suspected we knew the company, VR Solutions, out of Tallahassee, which basically ran most of the systems in the state of Florida. Now, the company claims to this day that the penetration was not successful. Homeland Security, in the material that was released by the Reality Winner, released to Intercept. Are you aware of that?
I'm not.
Okay. Reality Winner was an NSA contractor.
Oh, yeah, that's a person's name. Sorry, I forgot. That's a weird person. That's a weird name for a person. I've always stumbled over that. I do kind of remember what you're talking about.
Yes, and what she found was, not in the course of her regular work, she came across this top secret document from Homeland Security, which identified how the Russians penetrated VR and 21 other state databases. This was secret from every election official in the United States of America. The Trump Homeland Security people had made it secret. Reality Winner took that secret document about the penetration of America's election system and released it to an online site, I believe, called Intercept, and they released it. Reality Winner has since been arrested, and after spending almost a year in solitary confinement, I believe she has reached a plea deal to plead guilty to violating the United States Espionage Act, written in 1913. So, but she made it possible for us to understand what the dimensions of the problem really were. Because even today, if you talk to secretaries of states who Homeland Security has identified were states that were penetrated, these individuals are clueless and will tell you, oh, no, we were never attacked. And that's part of the problem. The level of sophistication from a state-level attack is not the equivalent of some hacker sitting in his mom's basement. These individuals can do it and leave no fingerprints, which is how the United States was able to put its own worm into the Iranian uranium spinners. It didn't leave any evidence either. They only discovered it when they hired a private company to do, I'm talking about Iran now, to do the check on why their computers weren't actually working properly. And the third-party provider, using the latest detection devices that they had, found nothing. But by the visual evidence that they saw, they could see something was going on. That's the sophistication of state-level penetration today. They can do things which are almost impossible to detect. And there is no science of computer forensics today. No major investigation was done on the technical equipment that was identified by the Intercept NSA release. And so, basically, you know, we don't know.
So no one
did a full-scale investigation after the 2016 election to determine what was the effect of these attacks.
So
that has not been done. You and I talked right now.
So, you know, the election officials like we just had on the show will be quick to point out that the actual voting equipment, the voting machines and the tabulation machines are not connected to the network. Is that enough to prohibit manipulation of those machines and those systems? Or are there some, you know, cutting edge hacker ways to get across an air gap?
Well, right now, I believe that. I can say we don't know. That's what I believe I can say would put my name to it. We don't know. I will tell you that what can be attacked are those things like voter registration databases, those things which program the electronic check-in of individuals, for example. And for example, you may not be able to physically change the numbers, but you might be able to go in and manipulate and distort voter records so that when an individual goes to vote, the record shows that you already voted, sir or ma'am, and you're not going to be allowed to be given a regular ballot. If you wish to vote, you're going to be voted in a provisional ballot. Or you could do something like what may have happened in Durham, North Carolina, when a significant percentage of the precincts, predominantly an African-American precincts, went down on election day. And individuals waited for hours for a remedial fix for them to be able to vote. The election official there says it must have been a glitch. Well, been talking to, going back to Alexander Haldeman, who was in the Michigan test that we had earlier mentioned. He said, that's precisely, if you're going to do a test, if you're going to hack somebody, you wouldn't want, after the fact, them to know that they're hacked. You'd want to make it look like it was some kind of an accident, which is precisely what the election officials say up there without being able to identify what the accident was.
So so state of Florida hired some cybersecurity experts using some federal money. Did you have any interaction with this effort? And what is the Albert monitoring system? Illuminate
what
that at
that
all?
I've retired since that.
I thought that you probably had, so I wasn't sure how closely you followed.
I do know it's a system designed to attack to give you notice if you are attacked.
It's like LifeLock for your election system.
Right. You are to be given notice that someone's attacking you. It's not a preventive, and if someone and hopefully the Albert system is 100% effective, although we don't know. The kind of testing that is done in that kind of environment, I just don't know, which is why, rather than focus on the front end, as an election official, I focus on the back end. If I could independently confirm the validity of the voters' votes separate from the voting system that I was using, that would provide me some comfort. The fact that an independent system, not using the same technology, using different technology, comes up with the same answer that the voting machine does, that's what I'm looking for.
What are you doing now with your time now that you've retired as election supervisor? Or are you still doing elections full time?
I've kept up with elections. I do the same amount of reading, talking to the same amount of people as I did before. I mean, when you get involved in elections, elections gets in your blood. And this is elections are critical. There can be no United States of America, a democratic republic, unless you truly have accurate elections so that the votes actually truly reflect the will of the citizens. That's critical. And so ensuring that this process works well is something that I'm going to be involved with for the rest of my life, to be honest with you. I love elections. This process, this government that was bestowed upon us by our founders, it's a fabulous one. And I want to make sure that when I'm gone from this world, I can have on my little tombstone the fact that I tried to keep this republic. I tried to answer positively to the statement that was asked of Benjamin Franklin in 1787 when a woman asked him, "What have you created?" And he said, "A republic, if you can keep it." Those words, "if you can keep it," are very central. History has shown the Democratic Republic, the Republic, for example, Rome collapsed. The Athenian democracy experiment, that collapsed. And the jury is out whether or not citizens can actually successfully govern themselves on a long-term basis. The democracy that we have here is a little over 200 years old. That's a drop in the bucket compared to, say, the Egyptian pharaoh's reign of 2,000 years, or a Chinese dynasty of 3,000 years. So we really have to put forth effort to ensure that what we have been given by the founders actually can be maintained. And that means maintaining an excellent and secure voting system in order to have that happen.
What do you say to people, and including fellow election officials, who consider you to be maybe a pot stirrer or a Chicken Little, the sky is falling?
Well, the sky isn't falling. But I'm one of these people that don't go by the old saw, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm the kind of person that says every election gave us new information, new data, to try to, in fact, improve the system. And that's what I've done from day one when I took office on January 2nd of 1989. We tried to make the system work the best we could. And standing pat is not how you do that. How you do that in an age like today is you add the latest information that you have, you're aware of it, and you actually factor it in. And after 2016, we have to factor in this new age of cyber attack by Russians, GRU. I don't know if you saw the technical advisory that came out about routers that Homeland Security sent out.
Yep.
I received it. If you have a Cisco router, you might as well toss it in a trash can. The Russians have completely utilized that particular router model. It has no security to it. They have spoofed it, so the actual Russian penetration to that system, the machine recognizes as its own, as itself. And routers from 2013 to the present have been a target of Russian attacks. I'm sorry, where is the focus on this? We are under war by this country who may have the ability, for example, let alone election systems. What if every power plant in the United States goes down? Every one of those are controlled by computers. Every one of those has routers that communicate. Excuse me, but this is serious stuff, and we're walking around with our heads in the sand, in my opinion.
Last question for you, Ion. When you got into this world back in the late 80s, did you suspect you'd be doing what would you be here today in 2018 talking to somebody on public radio? And in conjunction with that, how do you feel like we're doing now, post 2000 election with the Chads and then the electronic machines and now the paper? How do you feel like we're doing?
Well, after many fits and start, we're going in a better direction. There are no systems with the Chads that really was 1960s and 1970s computer technology, and the reason that we were using it in 2000 should be an indicator to people how technologically behind the whole area of elections was. The lever voting machines that Leon County had been using up until that time was invented by were invented in the 1800s. So again, whereas in most modern industries, the application of current technology is kept up with, and there are the elections, it was not. And again, no one was paying attention when you had the meltdown of these various technologies that could not, in fact, count all of their voters' votes. We're better off today. I would say that the state of Florida has ceased and desisted, for the most part, the voter suppression tactics that the Florida legislature tried to impose between 2006 and 2012. Following the disastrous 2012 election, corrections were made to provide supervisors of elections with the tools necessary to accommodate all their voters. So in terms of statutes, we're probably the best we've ever been in the state of Florida. We're all paper. What we need to do now is get a robust and scientifically reliable audit applied to that process. I think Leon County and six counties do that. The rest of the counties use the state rule, which does not provide that.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have. Ion Sancho is retired supervisor of elections in Leon County, which contains Tallahassee. Ion, thank you so much for your time and for going along with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.